It's really just about doing what you love and finding a passion for that, because that's what's going to keep you motivated and inspired every single day.
Welcome to the Productivityist Podcast. It's me, Mike Vardy, and this week on the program, I'm welcoming Christina Nadanova to the program. Now, this is by far the youngest guest I've ever had on the show. It's the youngest, Christina is the youngest guest I've ever interviewed for any of the podcasts I've hosted. And it was a real, real joy to do so. She is fantastic. I really want to get into this with her because, I mean, first off, she's published a novel, and that is close to my heart because back when I was around her age, I was going to young authors conferences and I was really into writing. So it was really cool to be able to talk to somebody else who's so passionate about this, but so much more. Let's get into my conversation right now with Christina Nadanova here on the Productivityist Podcast. Enjoy. I'd like to welcome Christina Nadanova to the Productivityist Podcast. Christina, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
So I think you have the distinction of being the youngest ever guest on the podcast.
Awesome.
This is probably not new to you, though, I would imagine. If you've been on other podcasts, it's probably like you are one of the youngest people out there that's kind of talking about this stuff, I would imagine. Even like you're writing for Thrive Global. I mean, this is something that I've got a 15-year-old daughter and she doesn't talk about this stuff. My son is 10 and he's home right now playing video games because he's not feeling 100%. And here you are at 12 kind of doing this kind of stuff. What led you to start writing and doing the stuff that you're doing online? Of course, I'm going to link to all this stuff that you do in the show notes, but just want to get that story from you.
So I actually was really invested in reading and writing from an incredibly young age. I believe I picked up my first chapter book when I was around 5 years old. And since then, I was just really captivated by literature. So afterwards, I realized that I also wanted to expand my talents into writing and my interest and passion for this into writing. It started off with some just short stories and poems for friends and family. But then I read a couple of books and realized this is something I want to do. I want to write a book, share my passion with the world, and reach readers with something that I'm very deeply interested in.
And the book that I'm looking at right now on Amazon, because yes, you have an Amazon author profile, is The Black Sisterhood Files, right?
Yes, that's correct.
What's it about? Just because, I mean, I know that it's fiction, right? So it's a fiction book, but what's it about?
It's a murder mystery thriller, which is about six girls and their adventure to unearth the identity of a mysterious killer who has massacred their hometown. It also includes some elements of coming of age, because the main character recently moved to this new town of Parkersburg, West Virginia, and she's met with so many strange occurrences and new people and just all sorts of peculiar events. Yeah.
So how did you set aside the time to work on something like this? Obviously, you know, you're going to school or taking studies, and you've also probably got friends and stuff that you want to hang out with. So how do you navigate all of the writing that you're doing and working on a novel with just being a kid?
So I guess balancing out writing, school, and my social life was fairly difficult at first because I wasn't used to doing that. I normally would just have to balance out school and social life, which wasn't that hard of an endeavor. However, I did always have to find at least a couple hours in my day to write, because as you can imagine, it's really an onerous feat to write a novel, because when you write a book, you have to go back and edit almost every single chapter, and you become just super, you become just super picky about every single sentence you write, whether or not this will appeal to readers or not, whether or not it's extra or needs more detail. So I would say that at first, I think I really mismanaged my time because I was just a fledgling in the arena. I think I would work for too much on my novel and lose focus on things such as school and my social life. However, then as I became, more expertise in that particular field, I guess I learned how to balance out all of those three things in a manner that was effective.
Now, there's not many kids your age that have written a novel or I've written for like a site like Thrive Global or anything like that. And I want to go down a little bit of a different path here because, I mean, there's peer pressure in school, right? Like I remember going to school, I've got kids. How do you navigate the pressure, like the peer pressure that could come across with things like this? When I went to school, I'll give you an example. I wrote a short story and was invited to a young authors conference when I went to school. And I was probably about maybe a little bit older than you when I did this. Mm-hmm. And it was great because I got to go bring my, and the novel was called, it was like a novella, and it was called Tiny Adventures at the Local Malt Shop. And it was inspired by the work of like Douglas Adams, you know, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy kind of stuff. And I remember it was an amazing experience. I got to read this little book, and I still have a copy of it, actually. I still have like the copy that was illustrated. My mom would typed it out. This is back, of course, when there weren't computers that you necessarily used as much. So she had an electric typewriter. But the thing that I do also remember is the kids that didn't understand that this was something that I was doing. It was just weird or different. How do you navigate that? Because I imagine you come across this a little bit as well.
Yeah, so I can totally relate to that because a lot of people, they just treat me differently after finding out that I'm interested in reading and writing because, you know, in my school, in my age, when you're like 12, 13, 14 years old, you're considered a nerd, not in a good way, if you're invested in those kinds of things. And I'm really lucky to have, I'm grateful and lucky to have friends who support me through all of it. However, there are obviously many occurrences where people are extremely judgmental about the fact that I'm truly very passionate about reading, writing, and literature. So I guess I overcome that by just realizing that in about 5 to 10 years, these people won't be playing a significant role in my life, and their criticism shouldn't have an effect on my work and what I put out into the world.
That's really mature and insightful of you, because it's hard to do that.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it's hard to do that as an adult, let alone as a kid. You know, there's that imposter syndrome, right? Which I'm sure you've heard about things like that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So you've written on Thrive. This actually leans in nicely to the idea of mindfulness, and you've written about this before. So clearly you've given some thought to this, and you practice mindfulness. Again, not something that is widely thought of when you're thinking of kids, and again, let alone busy adults. So you've written a post called 5 Easy Ways to Implement Mindfulness into Your Daily Life, and you've talked about transforming your life through the power of the human mind. What was the thing that you think is the simplest, maybe not the easiest, but the simplest for someone who's trying to implement mindfulness into their routine? What's one of the simplest things that they can do?
That's a great question. I would definitely say meditation, because for example, for myself, I try to meditate every single day, both in the morning and in the night. And not only does it help improve my sleep schedule and my overall mood during the day, it also really helps boost energy and motivation while I'm working on a particular project, such as writing my next book or marketing my novel or just connecting with readers or whatever it may be. So I would say I have some really great app recommendations for meditating. One of them is actually, I can just check it right now if that's okay.
Yeah.
It's literally just called Meditate. It's found in the App Store, I think, and it's on Android too. It's just called Meditate. And they have a bunch of different routines and exercises, both breathing exercises and meditation exercises that work for almost everybody. And I've been using it for at least a couple months now. And it has really helped me with mindfulness and exercising that, and cultivating mindfulness.
What about social media? You're marketing your book, you're using social media. Again, I'm looking at the Thrive Global profile that you have there, which I'll link to in the show notes. And I mean, you're on Instagram, you're on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Social media can be a great place to share things, but it can also be a huge distraction and maybe even a bit of a derailer, right? Like it can actually, especially in the world that we're living in right now, it can get you down, right? So are you the type of person where you go in, you do what you need to do and you get out of there? Or how do you navigate social media?
So absolutely not. I'm not that kind of person. I get distracted really, really easily by social media. And I wish I was that kind of person. I wish I could just go in, get what I need to get done, maybe upload a post, respond to some DMs, and then just be, just be on my way doing more productive things. However, I'm definitely the one to get distracted by posts on my Explore page or posts on my feed. And that's how the Instagram algorithm works. I mean, they detect the posts. And that's how every social media works. They detect the posts you like, and then they show similar posts on your feed and Explore page to keep you interested, because they just want to bring more, they just want to keep your eyeballs on the screen and on their app, because that's how their entire marketing program works. So I have a hack where I just dim my screen, because that usually helps turn my brain off and get me off my phone. And in terms of social media, I would say that it's a really great place to market my book and connect with new readers, because on Instagram, there's a whole new Instagram called Bookstagram, where readers just share their book reviews. And I've had actually a lot of success marketing to Bookstagram because it's obviously filled with people who are genuinely passionate about reading. That's where I can find my niche and people who are interested in the particular genre my book is written in. However, I would say it is really simple to get distracted on social media. What with, I don't know, maybe hate, because obviously the larger your Instagram is, the more hate you will receive.
Right.
And it's easy to get really put off and derailed by that. Also, again, just the thing with getting distracted by the content that appears on your page, it isn't necessarily related to what you're trying to achieve in that particular matter. So yeah, my hack is honestly just dimming my screen, turning off my phone whenever I feel that it's too far, and I literally just need to put my phone down and focus on something that is more productive.
What about TikTok? Because I know my daughter uses it. I play with it a bit. Are you using it? Like, are you? Because I think that it's a young person's game for sure. I mean, that's pretty common. But I think there's opportunity there too if used, you know, in a way that will work for you. I think that you would know better than I at this point, because it's probably something you're using, but is that an avenue that you're going down as well?
Yeah. So in terms of TikTok, it's actually all about just hitting the algorithm and getting lucky with that. Because for example, if you use the correct hashtags and you utilize all of the hashtags and whatever to your advantage, then you will get on the For You page, you will get more views, you will reach more people. And I've been trying to do that, but I haven't had much luck with the algorithm on TikTok. I've had a lot of luck with the algorithm on Instagram, but not TikTok. I'm not sure why, and I will keep trying, because TikTok is a really great marketing place too. There's a lot of potential readers on there and just people I can connect with. However, I would say also with TikTok, it is a pretty dangerous place to get distracted. Mm-hmm. Not dangerous in terms of, you know, like actual danger, but dangerous because it can really get you and knock you off track.
Kind of like
knock you off your focus and what you're doing.
Yeah, kind of like YouTube too, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you doing stuff on YouTube? Do you have a channel and stuff that you're promoting your stuff there? Or do you just kind of, like, I guess you have to be, like anybody, selective about what you're where you're spending your time and attention, and that goes with social networks as well, right?
Yeah, I created a YouTube channel about a couple months ago. I don't really use it that much. I don't have that many subscribers. I posted one video. I think it did fairly well. I mean, it didn't blow up or anything, but I prefer to use Instagram, a channel such as Instagram, because it's just much easier for me to operate.
We'll get right back to the conversation after these words from our sponsors. Stress, sleep, recovery, these are all things that shape how we perform. I know that especially as this week gets underway, my family is off for 2 weeks with spring break. There's a lot of activity going on, and I need to make sure I can manage my stress, get the proper amount of sleep while having a bit more of a dynamic schedule, and then be able to recover quickly to serve you, my listeners, my readers, my clients, my customers, but most of all, my family. And I have to say that the one thing that I've added to my routine and have been using for quite some time that's made a remarkable difference is New Calm. You know, stress, it's really unavoidable, and it's imperative to your health and happiness to be able to manage stress and not be managed by it. Same goes for time, right? Well, New Calm gives you the power to slow down and get some distance, which will allow you to respond better to the demands of everyday life. New Calm accomplishes this by interrupting acute stress at its source and by bringing you into the calming brainwave patterns that are associated with relaxation, greater awareness, intuition, and providing a calming sensation. New Calm is clinically proven in over 1 million sessions to improve your sleep, reduce your stress, and boost your recovery without drugs and side effects. The New Calm system uses cutting-edge neuroscience, and it consists of 3 non-invasive and non-pharmaceutical items, all of which are included in your monthly subscription that costs less than a daily cup of coffee. The whole process is easy to use and to work into your daily routine to achieve better sleep, reduction in stress, and boost in recovery. Do what I did. You know, own the day with New Calm and make 2021 the year you manage your stress better. We have a special link set up specifically for listeners of the Productivityist podcast. All you need to do is go to timecraftingnewcalm.com and get 50% off your 30-day subscription of NewCalm and their money-back guarantee. So again, that's timecraftingnucalm.com, timecraftingnewcalm.com. NUCALM.com. Go there, get that 50% discount off a 30-day subscription, and get their money-back guarantee. I have really fallen in love with what NUCALM offers me, and I know it can do the same for you. Check out what NUCALM has to offer you today. I've really tried to level up my reading over the past several months, and one of the places that I'm making a concerted effort to do that in is print media, is not just blogs or anything like that. Books are a big part of it, but I also want to read some quality writing. And in print and online, The New Yorker stands apart for its commitment to truth and accuracy, quality writing, which is what I'm looking for, and compelling reporting and storytelling. The New Yorker is considered by many to be one of the most influential publications in the world. I know that when I read something in The New Yorker, it stands out. It is something that I take seriously, and I will often cite New Yorker articles in my weekly newsletter. The New Yorker's weekly print issues and daily online articles cover a full range of topics. There's something for everyone. Politics, news, international affairs, climate change and the environment, popular culture, the arts, fiction, food, humor, and cartoons. The list goes on and on and on. There are some fantastic articles on productivity and time management that I've come across again and again in The New Yorker. And it's not just through their back catalog. They are continuing to deliver the goods week in and week out. But they go beyond the week because The New Yorker has become the daily digital destination for news and cultural coverage, publishing 10 to 15 exclusive site-only stories every day. And in addition to that, you can use their apps, read from their online archive dating all the way back to 1925. You can solve crossword puzzles and more. In both print and online digital issues, The New Yorker has content from the best writers in America today. And a 12-week subscription for just $6 includes home delivery of the print edition each week and unlimited access to The New Yorker website. It's a no-brainer. It's a 50% discount for you. So here's what I want you to do. For a limited time, you, as a listener of the Productivityist podcast, can get 12 weeks of The New Yorker for just $6. That's right. I'm circling back. It's just $6. That's a savings of 50%. Plus, listeners of the Productivityist podcast will receive an exclusive tote bag for free. All you need to do is go to newyorker.com/timecrafting and use the promo code timecrafting at checkout. That's newyorker.com/timecrafting, promo code timecrafting, to get 12 weeks off The New Yorker for just $6 and a free tote bag. Again, newyorker.com/timecrafting, promo code timecrafting. Take advantage of this offer now. The New Yorker delivers the goods time and time again. You do not want to miss out on this opportunity. Take advantage of this offer right now. We don't know what the future holds, but we can sure try to forge it. And that's one of the things that I really want to deliver during this challenge that I'm delivering, a free challenge that I'm delivering at the end of March. From March 26th to 28th, I'm inviting you to take part in a free challenge. It's going to be live. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be stunning. It's going to be everything that you look for in a challenge that's going to help you level up your time management. You're going to get more control over your calendar. You're going to have a greater understanding of what's on your to-do list and how to deal with it. Plus, you're going to have a better mindset going forward. You're going to be able to forge the future that you want. And I'm sharing this on the podcast because I know that there's someone like you out there that could use this challenge. If it's not you, maybe it's somebody that you know. And all I want you to do is take this URL down, take this link down, and sign up for the challenge yourself or pass it on to someone you know, or do both. All you have to do to enter this free challenge is go to productivityist.com/forge-your-future. That's the word productivity with IST at the end of it. I mean, you're listening to the podcast, you know how it's spelled. .com/forge-your-future, and you can be part of this free 3-day challenge that takes place from March 26th to March 28th. I would love to see you there because I am going to deliver not just the goods, but the greats over that 3-day period. So again, to join the Forge Your Future Challenge for free, head to productivityist.com/forge-your-future right now. And now let's get back to the show. What does your day look like? I mean, because that's I've talked to plenty of adults, both those that have, you know, quote, day jobs, and then those that are entrepreneurs. But what does like what does a typical day for Christina look like?
A typical day for me, I would say I wake up pretty early because I have all my classes in the morning. With virtual school, we don't have personal school right now because of COVID. So I get my all my classes done in the morning, try to not do any book marketing or go on social media in the early hours of the day because I just want to focus on my education and school. So after in the afternoon, I usually try to get some writing done. And I end up going on social media probably to, post something and connect with new readers and new people. And I ended up getting distracted, which is, I think it happens to everyone. So I've really been trying to work on that bad habit of getting distracted by social media because it does suck a lot of productive time away from my day. And I think that can pertain to many other people. So in the morning, I just get done with classes. Then in the afternoon, I usually read because I'm also a really avid reader, and I get some writing done, some marketing done, and then social media, obviously, because
Are you more of a morning person or are you more of a night owl? I mean, I guess that's probably going to
Night
change.
owl,
Yeah, I'm
definitely
the
night owl.
same. And I think that'll change too. Like, I mean, I it may not change drastically because I know I've always
Yeah, it
been a.
really fluctuates over the years. I used to be a huge morning person. I would just wake up super early and be very motivated and full of energy, but now it's kind of just I would rather stay up late than wake up early.
What about other apps that you use? Because I mean, again, there's a lot of people I talk to that are totally into apps. Do you use app like to-do list apps or anything like that to kind of keep yourself on track with all the different things you're trying to do? Or like how do you keep track of the tasks and stuff that you need to do both in school and obviously for the writing that you're doing?
So when it comes to aspects such as to-do lists or journaling, I actually prefer to use a real physical journal because that just, I guess it helps me express my emotions in a more real and a more connected way. I don't know, that may sound a bit odd, but it's just what works for me. So I usually have a to-do list for the day, and then I have a list of short-term goals. Short-term is about, days and weeks, and then long-term goals, months and years. So in what I envision for myself in the future.
How far do
I
you
also
go?
like
How
to
far do you, how many years? Just real quick, how many years do you go down? I mean, because your life's going to change a lot. Like, how far
Yeah.
are you projecting in years?
So far, my projections are around, I would say, 10 years, but I'm hoping to expand a bit farther because actually, well, I do just like to live life by every day and what it presents to me. I'm not the kind of person who wants to know what will happen to me in the future because I just rather go with the flow. However, I do want to have some sort of a structure and a path carved in my life.
Awesome. All right. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, but it was just
No
interesting
worries.
to see you
Yeah,
going
no
that.
worries.
So you've got the goals, short-term goals, long-term goals, and then.
Yeah. I also sometimes bullet journal either about books I read just to express my thoughts and feelings about the book because I do get garner a lot of inspiration for writing from reading. I also bullet journal ideas for short stories or new novels or something of the sort because it helps me harness my creativity and my imagination and I try to do this every single day because I don't want to stem my creativity and I want to keep stimulating it as much as I possibly can.
Have you so do you follow like Ryder Carroll's been on the podcast. We'll link to that episode in the show notes. He's the creator of the bullet journal method. Do you follow that method as closely to as it was initially kind of crafted? And I know Ryder said the fact that bullet journaling can evolve with the user, I think is important too. Like how does your bullet journal how closely does your bullet journaling resemble what it was basically put out as when Ryder put the book out there.
That's a really interesting question. I would say it doesn't at all resemble it because I just have my completely just different way of expressing my thoughts while bullet journaling. And I used to try to achieve that similarity to what it originally was, but then it just wasn't for me, so I just went off track and did my own thing, I guess.
All right, let's shift gears for a minute and talk about the weekends because that's when you don't have school, right? So, but I mean, obviously you've got family, right? Like how many, do you have brothers, sisters?
One older sister.
Okay. How do you navigate the weekends? Do you spend, I mean, 'cause that can be a slippery slope too, obviously. If you're writing, I mean, I know a lot of people, especially entrepreneurs, they subscribe to the idea of the hustle, right? Like where they're working and they take very few breaks. I mean, how do you use the weekends for downtime? Do you find like, how does that look?
So weekends for me typically look like, as you said, a downtime and a time to reconnect with myself and, just find more motivation and inspiration for the upcoming week, because on the weeks I do work almost every single hour of the day from around 7 a.m. to, I don't know, 8 p.m. because I am pretty busy in terms of that. However, on the weekends, I do try to direct my focus to taking some time for myself and also spending time with friends and family, because I rarely get to do that on the weekdays.
Right. Not just because of you being busy, but I mean, the thing about
Yeah,
family is
yeah,
they're busy
yeah.
too, right?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Let's go back to meditation for a second then. So, how long have you been meditating now for?
I would say about a year, maybe. I started about last June, I think. So yeah, a little over a year.
And you feel that like that's something I've been really doing as we're recording this. It's been something I've gone and done on again, off again. Did you find that it was like that for you, where it was hard to keep the practice going? And then how did you make it stick?
So some days I just would not at all want to meditate. There was just something within me that said, yeah, no, I'm not, I really don't want to do this today. And it was very difficult to keep on track and keep up that sustainability and consistency in the beginning, because I was not used to meditating and I would get distracted by the most trivial of things. I would have a hard time, falling into that meditative and kind of hypnosis state. I would just be irritated by absolutely everything. But however, I think practice makes perfect really pertains to this particular situation, and well, almost any situations, but this one in particular, because if you really just force yourself to do it every day and to just completely relax and unwind when you're doing it, you'll find that it comes a lot easier than it would if you're just being choppy with it and inconsistent.
What are your favorite genres of writing that you like to follow? We'll get into authors and stuff in a little bit, but I mean, I think genres are really interesting, both, in terms of fiction and nonfiction.
So in terms of nonfiction, I'm really interested in writing about science, because science is my favorite subject in school, along with English, obviously. And I do love discovering more about our solar system, our planet Earth, the ecosystems, and everything. So if I were to write a nonfiction book, then it'd most likely be something about science and the science of our planet Earth. So in terms of fiction, horror and thriller, I tried to write fantasy a couple months ago. It really did not work out for me, because it's just an entirely disparate genre from what I'm comfortable with writing.
Do you think you mentioned science, of course, like is your path, I mean, and you've talked about long-term career goals, is your path to become an author, or is it going to be like, is writing going to be something that is a side thing for you? Like I mean, I knew when I was younger that I wanted to do either writing or acting or something like that. And I didn't get that. You've probably seen that diagram that shows, that what people think their life is going to look like or their career is going to look like, and then what it actually looks like, and it's squiggly lines. The journey to where I am now is very different than the journey I envisioned, but
Yeah, of
I get to
course.
do things like talk to you and do performing in that way, do speaking. I get to write, but it's not the thing I envisioned. What kind of path do you feel that you're carving out for yourself so that when you're looking down the road, like this is what I wanted to do, and look, here I am.
So I do feel like writing is something that will always stick with me for the rest of my life, and I will keep writing books. I want to write at least four more books over the course of my lifetime, if not more, but that's kind of just the minimum, the bar that I set for myself, because again, I'm really invested in writing and sharing my work with others. However, I don't think that I will actually choose being an author as a long-term and full career, because as you may know, it is incredibly difficult to make a sustainable living as an author, because that industry is always fluctuating. One day you may be this, you may be just you may be like Stephen King, the next day nobody knows who you are. And I can say that from experience. I mean, honestly, I was my actually I'm not really a famous author. However, I would say that my rise to successful authorship was really, really sporadic, because I struggled a lot with marketing and selling my book back in the months of like May and June. Then all it took about was just 1 week for me to develop a new marketing plan, and then boom, I had sold over 1,000 copies. So I would say then again, anything can happen that will make me sink to where I was before. So I'm not going to choose being an author as a long-term career, because that's not something I think I can sustain. However, I think I really I think I'll definitely choose a career in the field of science because I'm really interested in that and I can see myself doing it for, you know, a couple decades or so.
Who are the people that you look to and you admire? Like who, if you're looking at, and it could be in any field really, but and incidentally for the, I mean, this is a question that I think anybody can answer, adult or child, because I mean, we all look at people and we say, oh, you know, I admire that person. Who are some of the people that you look to and you admire, you know, based on the achievements they've had, based on the lifestyle that they lead, that kind of thing?
So in terms of authors, I would say Stephen King. And is it right if I mention people who've already passed?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
In terms of authors, I would say Edgar Allan Poe, Stephen King, and Arthur Conan Doyle. I guess those are my top three.
That makes sense based on the type of writing you like to do. That absolutely makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then otherwise, I would say I really look up to Greta Thunberg, who's an environmental activist. She's only a couple years older than me, and I can see she's very passionate about what she does, and I want to someday cultivate that kind of and replicate that kind of passion towards, towards the things that I hope to attain in life, because she's an incredibly successful person, and I do really admire her and everything she's done, because she has made a very profound impact on not only just the world, but also our generation.
Well, Christina, you're well on your way. I mean, I'm very impressed with
thank you
with what you thank with you how so you much. Carry yourself, and not just the things you've done, but how you carry yourself. It shows that you're very thoughtful and very mindful. And there's a perspective there that I think is I wouldn't say unique, but definitely heightened based on age. So, one more thing before I let you go, and I tend to ask this to pretty much every guest, what's one action that someone can take to start being more productive and making the most use of their time and attention? What's one thing that you would share with my audience here to let them know, hey, this is something that you can do to start paying more attention, being more intentional, and being more productive?
That's an interesting question. I would say just find your true passion, because all of us spend our whole life doing something that we end up not liking, and that's what makes it hard to stay productive and attentive. So I would say it's perfectly okay to take months, if not even years, to experiment with all sorts of different things and figure out what you really want in life, because in life it's really just about doing what you love and finding a passion for that, because that's what's going to keep you motivated and inspired every single day.
Keep that mindset, because it gets harder and harder as you get older, as I'm sure you've seen. Yeah. Christina, where can people keep up with you and your work?
So you can actually find me on my website. You can get in touch with me. Find all my social medias on my website, which is christina.co, just my name and then .co.
Awesome. Hey, thank you so much, Christina, for joining me today on the Productivity
Podcast. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
I'd like to thank Christina for joining me on the podcast. She was a real treat to have a conversation with, and I can't wait to see what the future holds for her. Again, I hope you got a lot out of this conversation. I know I did. And there are plenty of conversations that I've had in the past and plenty more to come. And the way that you can access those readily, easily, and quickly is by subscribing to the podcast in the app that you are listening to the podcast to right now. That could be Spotify, that could be Apple Podcasts, it could be Overcast, it could be Pocket Cast, it could be wherever, but you don't want to miss a single episode of what we're going to be delivering here on the Productivity is Podcast. Not only that, but if you're subscribed, you can find the archives that much faster. You can search through them. You can get more out of the podcast. So subscribe today. All you need to do is hit that subscribe button. And then if you're so inclined, you could leave me a rating and review, but I want you to get to know the podcast first, of course. So again, subscribe to the podcast today. That way you don't miss a single episode, because I've got a lot of great stuff coming down the pipeline over the next several months. We're already mapped out and I can't wait to deliver them to you. So I don't want you to miss a single episode. Subscribe to the podcast today. That's it for this episode. Thanks so much for taking the time to listen. Until next time, this is Mike Vardy, the host of the Productivity is Podcast, reminding you to stop guessing and start going. See you later.